Well, I think we did. Either that or a train drove down my street, but I don't know, it was about 6 a.m. It was pretty loud. Actually, I thought it was a train, but then I'm like, man, that ain't no train. It's out the front door. But who knows? Turn with me over to John, Book of John, chapter 8. And then we're going to go to chapter 5. But the Book of John, chapter 8. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening, and Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. And Lord, we ask now that you would be with this part of the service as we open your word, and Lord, that we would glean from it what you would have us to. And we thank you for that. Ask you, Lord, to be with all the prayer requests that have been made. Have your will with each one. We ask that you would strengthen Brother Steve, and Lord, lead, guide, direct the doctors and nurses that'll be seeing about it tomorrow and the things that may need to be done. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 8 is a very familiar passage. We're not going to stay here very long, but there's something that I saw the other day. Or is it I sang? Oh, I saw. I said it right. I married an English teacher, and she's been helping me. Really, well, anyway, I'll leave that one alone. Jesus, as we know, he was at the Mount of Olives, it says, and they brought a lady to him and that was taken in adultery. And basically, they'd done all this really trying to trap him and trying to trick him into they really wanted to get rid of him. And that would have been a good way to get rid of him. If he'd answered yes, then you know, that would have been a problem. If he answered no, that would be a problem. So he answered them. When they come in and they said, what do you want us to do with it? Because this lady has committed adultery, and Moses' law said that she is to be stoned. And so he come back with them, and we know he knelt down on the ground and he drew in the sand, wrote in the sand, and we don't know what he wrote, but hey, he could have been the Ten Commandments, which is more than likely what it was, but or maybe started to, or for all I know, he could have been naming some sins. But he said, so he wrote down it as though he hadn't heard them. And then it says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a word in there that really doesn't fit with what he did? Think about this. Here Jesus is. These people are accusing this woman, and he does this. Can you hear that? That really struck me odd, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't get that. I can't hear people when they write. So anyway, I got to looking into that more, and I figure the word actually in the Greek, when you go in there and you look at it or wherever you want, it meant they took it into their heart. They understood what he was telling them. It was all of a sudden, it ain't about her, it's about me. They figured that out real quick, and boy, they got convicted of that and walked off. Because they were just as guilty as she was. You know, it's like I asked the kids tonight, I said, you ever lied? Well, yeah. I said, well, you were just as guilty as this bad woman, you should have been stoned to death. And so, but when I was reading that, I was like, wow. You know, they really understood that. They heard it. And they heard it with the ears of our heart. So, with that said, let's go to John chapter 5. And I want us to really, really concentrate on hearing God's Word. Every time that we open God's Word and read it, or every time we hear it preached or hear it taught, concentrate on hearing it with our ears. Because the biggest problem is a lot of things we hear, and what do? It goes in one ear and right out the other.
You know, I'm guilty of that. My mom, when I was a kid, did you water the dog? Yep. They didn't have no water. They just right on through. But when my dad asked, did you water the dog? Yes, sir. And they had water. And if they didn't have water, I said, okay, I'll hang on. I'll give you an answer in a minute. You know, because I took his word and I listened to seriously what it said. My mom made sure that my dad knew that I didn't hear her words. So I got to the point that I was even hearing her words. Now, I didn't always take heed to them, but I did hear them. And I did hear them with my heart because I knew better. But that's what we need to do every time we look at the Word of God and we hear it or we read it. We need to really open the ears of our heart. Chapter 5 of John says, after this, verse 1, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity of 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the Sabbath day, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, first off, we really need to understand, as a church, we can't do anything without Christ. As an individual, you can't do anything without Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine. In other words, Jesus is the vine. Listen, we've got to continue to keep Him in our life. Now, if you're here and you don't know the Lord is your Savior, there's nothing you can really do for God. Nothing. You need to make sure, you need to examine yourself, you need to look and say, is there a time in my life that I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior? I talked to two tonight. And I think, well, Luke talked to, one? Sandy, I think, talked to one. And they're just not there. They hadn't quite understood it enough. But I told them, I said, listen, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Shed His blood for our sins. And that's the sins of yesterday and today. And then if you get saved today, does that cover our sins next week? Well, sure it does. And if somebody asked me, if they said, well, actually, I had somebody here a while back ask me, well, yeah, but I can lose my salvation. I can sin so much that I can lose my salvation. Listen, if you can sin so much that you can lose your salvation, then Jesus wasted His time. It was a waste of His time to do what He went through. Because that what you're telling me is He died for your sins back there, but He didn't die for our sins that I'll commit 20 years from now. No, Jesus died for all our sins, for everybody's sins, no select group of people. It was everybody. So we need to understand that first off, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus saw Him, it says in verse 6. Aren't you glad Jesus sought you out? Amen. Jesus sought me out. I didn't go seeking for Him. It says in Romans 3 that none of us seek God. Look, oh, I knew there was a God. Listen, I got sprinkled when I was a baby. I was uptown. I don't know. My mom said I cried. I don't remember it. So, well, I don't. You know, somebody thumping water in your face, what good's that do? Nothing. Just made me mad. But, you know, Jesus looked for me. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Jesus because I'd heard it preached about. I'd heard it in Sunday school. Boy, we'd go to VBS. And they'd teach us and we'd make all the little neat little things. But I didn't really look for Him. But God sought me out. And that's what happened to this man. God sought him out for 38 years. He had been laying there. They'd bring him day after day. And God sought him out. But God did something for him that if you get saved, or if you are saved, God has done for you. God gave him power to overcome the weakness that he had. He couldn't walk. Couldn't get up. The water, the angel would come down there and he'd stir up the water or stick his toe in it. I don't know how. Maybe he fluttered it with his wings. I don't have any idea. But it made it move. And everybody'd go down there and get in the water. Whichever one got in first got healed. Well, this guy couldn't get up and go down there. But Jesus gave him the power to get away from that weakness. We had sin in our lives. And we still do, even if you're saved. I'm still a sinner. I do my best not to, but I still do. But Jesus gives us the power to break the chains of that sin. He gave us the power to break the chains of death, because guess what? Through Jesus Christ, I'll live eternally. And so Jesus gave us that power, and that's where our power comes from. Our power comes from the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, hang on to John. Of course, some of you may even can quote this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." People that see you at church think, what an idiot. Some of them really do. These people go to this church, pouring down rain, getting cold, and you could be sitting at home watching whatever garbage they got on TV. And are you, you know, but here you are at church. And on top of that, they pass out the, what'd that girl call it today? Oh, I can't remember what she asked. She asked, was these giant coasters? I said, well, not really. I said, but yeah, in a way. I said, they take up an offering. Well, who's it for? I said, for God. I said, it's for His church. Oh, okay. She was satisfied. And she said, well, I wish I had some money. Roxy did too. Roxy said, well, I don't have no money on me. But we didn't take up an offering. But, you know, to people out here in the world, this is foolishness. But it tells us, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen, because of what Jesus done for us, we have the power of God. Because of what Jesus did for this man, He walked up to this man, He said, rise up and walk. This guy didn't have to, but He did. He had the power to get up and walk off because of what Jesus done for it. We have the power to get away from the sin because of what Jesus does. But, oh, that's hard to do, ain't it? Can we go through this life and not sin? No. I'd like to, but I have a problem with that. But guess what Jesus says? He gave us the strength. You see, this man didn't have to get up, but he did. Verse 9, it says, and immediately the man was made whole. Jesus said, will you be made whole? Well, I don't know because I ain't got nobody to help me. Jesus said, well, get up. Hey, he knew he had what he needed to get up. He knew that right off the bat. Hey, I've got what it takes to get up. And then he had what it took to walk away because he had the strength. Listen, we have what it takes to walk away from the sins that bother us if we'll take advantage of it. Now, I didn't say that we would be sinless, but we have what it takes to walk away from it and we'll sin a whole lot less. Because Jesus gives us the strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I live my life by that verse. Do I always succeed? Nope. There's sometimes, boy, I think things ought not to. And done it on purpose. sitting around in the house, and boy, that little entertainer comes in there and says, what do you think about? I don't know. And then all of a sudden you find yourself indulging more and more in that thought. Hey, Jesus gave me the power not to do that. He says you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. So I could have said, now wait a minute. I ain't going to do that. And I could have grabbed the Bible and opened the Bible, but in the middle of the day, that's hard to do, is read the Bible, ain't it? You know, you only do that in the morning or late at night. But really and truly, that's when we get to bind, we need to do that. And we really have no excuse anymore not to, because I don't know how many of you in here got this or one similar. They call them smartphones. They ain't real smart. Really, they're not. And AT&T raised the bar so high, when I'm at home, I can't even get it. It's up there, boy. But every one of them got a Bible on it. So if I'm driving down the road, well, no, you probably ought not do that. I do that. I read sometimes going down the road. Sandy drives. She sits over there, left, right. We can look right there at the Bible. We don't have to have it in our hand. But then if we really did what we ought to do, we hide it in our heart. And in that way, we do that memorization. Brother Steve told me he has chapter 3 of John memorized. And then Brother Scott said in Arabic. He said, no. We memorize the word so that when these things come to us, we can say, hey, I'll need that. I'll need that problem. And you start using the word of God. So really, Jesus gives us the strength to stay away from sin. But not only that, He gives us strength to serve God. Well, I got problems and I just can't. Yeah, but He gives you the strength to serve. Paul had problems. And he said in Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he said, my strength is sufficient for you. In other words, whenever I feel weak and I'm like, you know, Lord, I am just burned out. For some reason, I can keep going. It's the same way with anybody. Well, yeah, but Brother Jim, you're a preacher. Listen, for 46 years, I was not. And I went and shod horses Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You didn't ask her, or you didn't ask her. Sometimes 12, 13 hours a day, but I came to church on Sunday. I came to church on Wednesday. We did some other things. So it can be done. And you proved it tonight. How many of you just laid out all week and didn't do nothing till Wednesday? No, you've been at work. But you come to church. That's because God gives us the strength to be able to do these things. And He'll help us every time we start feeling that, oh, I just don't think I can. Guess what? You can. We can find it because He gives us the strength to. This guy got up, and I really don't think he stood up and just kind of trembled. I think the man just stood up and it was like, hey, this is cool. I mean, 38 years, he hadn't been able to do that. He felt the power. Listen, it's there for us if we want it. He gives us the strength. And the more and more that we serve God, guess what? The stronger our faith gets. It really does. It helps when you serve the Lord. It helps when I go, and I know everybody can't do this because of work and things, but it helps when I go knock on the door and say, hey, Richard, you home? Not you. And I hear this guy from upstairs, yeah, just put it on the table. And I take his food in there and I put it down. It makes me feel good. And I say, you want us to pray with you? Or Sandy will say that. Yeah, go ahead. And sometimes he'll stick his head around the stairs and he'll bow them. You know, and we'll pray with. But it makes you feel good. It strengthens you when you're serving God. It really does. But now here's another thing. And this, really and truly, I'm going to tell you something. I've heard this preached, and I'm sure somebody's preached it. But I've never heard it. I've heard this passage preached before. I've read it, I couldn't tell you how many times. But when this come across to me, it was kind of like they heard him right in the dirt. I had never noticed that they heard him right in the dirt. I can't hear people right. But this, I've really never noticed, and it sticks out like a sore thumb when you read it. And it's not even a play on words or whatever you want to call it. Verse 9, it says, "And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." Verse 10, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cursed, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Now, I thought about it being the Sabbath day, and I knew it was against their law, but it just never really dawned on me. But do you know what the penalty was for him carrying his bed on the Sabbath? He was to be killed. You ever read about the stick picker-upper? Man, we've got to read the stick picker-upper real quick. Go over to... I hadn't lost my mind. Promise. Go over to Numbers, chapter 15. That's somewhere before Revelation. And apparently it's before that one. Yeah, it's right before Deuteronomy. Chapter 15, verse 32 through 36. It says, "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that was gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks," this dude was a stick picker upper, by the way, "brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him inward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, The man shall be surely put to death." He had to be stoned because he broke the law working on the Sabbath day. He wanted some sticks, maybe to build a fire. He goes out and gathers them up. Maybe he forgot, but it was a Sabbath day. Sabbath day. He went out and he worked on the wrong day and they had to kill him. This guy gets up and takes his bed and takes off with it. And he's at the temple. Well, guess who's at the temple? The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. They all see it. "Oh, who told you to do this?" "Well, I don't know. Some dude told me, get up and walk and take your bed with you." You know, now, I don't read anywhere where he argued with him. I don't read anywhere where he says, "Mister, I don't know who you are. You look like a Jew, but guess what? It's against the law for me to do this." He didn't say that. He just said, "Okay." He didn't know who done it. He just said, "All right, I'll do it." Jesus gives us courage when we need the courage. He had the power. He got the strength to get up and walk, and he could have said, "You know what? Excuse me, sir. What's your name?" "Well, I'm Jesus." "Well, I'm whoever he was. I'm going to go ahead and cruise on. I appreciate what you did, but I'm going to leave my bed here." You know, he could have, but no, he didn't question it. Jesus said, "Pick up your bed and go." He had the courage to do what he needed to do. Listen, in our world today, we need courage. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are kind of like you're in Walmart and you think, you know, maybe I ought to strike up conversation with this person. You know, maybe you get around to talking to them about the Lord. "No, I ain't going to do that." You know, they may think that's called fear. I've talked to people that are scared to death to go out knocking on doors in neighborhoods. "Well, I'm not going to go up and knock on their door." And I mean, good grief. You know, I don't... Worried about... I used to be scared about that. Up until recently, I used to go and knock on the door. And I've been to a police academy for a year. And so they taught you, when you approach your house, you knock on the door and step to the side. So you won't get shot. I always told Sandy, I said, "You step that way, I'll step this way." They might have seen us coming. There they are again with the watch. No. But, you know, I don't worry about it really. Because Jesus gives us courage to do what we need to do. But in our day that's coming, hey, listen, Hillary's winding up to run for president. That's great. It's not going to get any better. You know, we might can hold it up a little bit, maybe some super, a lot of extra prayers, but it ain't going to get no better. They put a guy in jail, and I ain't read the whole story, so it might be legitimate, but they put this guy in jail. He's got his baby on his knee and a BB gun in the other hand. They took a picture of him. They went and arrested him for child endangerment. Good grief. I gave my son a shotgun at 9 years old and said, let's go hunting. I had my own shotgun at nine that was mine. Child endangerment, they'd have stoned my dad, I guess, but well, they'd have done that when they said him discipline me, child endangerment. But God gives us the strength to do and the power to do and the courage to do what He asks us to do. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter where you're at. If the Lord lays it on your heart, we need to hear what He's saying with our ears that are on our heart. And we need to take heed to it and do that. You're in Walmart or you're across the road at your neighbor's or down the road. If the Lord lays it on your heart, you know, and trust me, the devil ain't the one that says, you know, you ought to invite him to church. That ain't the devil. That's the Holy Spirit. Psst. That there needs to go to church. You ought to invite him to church. Don't be scared to invite him to church. I have been. I'm going to be honest with you. There's times I'm like, man, I ain't going to ask that guy to church. He'd think I'm a nut. Besides, I'm in here looking cool. You know, you can't be cool and be a Christian. Good grief. But the Lord will give us the strength we need and the power we need and the courage when we need it. He gave it to this guy. I really thought that was neat because he told him, he said, get up and take your bed and go. Listen, this guy knew what the law was. He knew that he possibly may die. But nonetheless, he did what the Lord asked. We need to keep that in our mind, in our hearts. Day after day, this man sat by this pool for 38 years. Jesus did not show up and talk to him before that day right there. And it don't say Jesus ever came back and talked to anybody else by that pool. You ever give that a thought? How many times did Jesus go talk to Zacchaeus? Once. Now, you may be here tonight, whatever it is that maybe the Lord's talking to you about. But He may not talk to you about it no more. It might be just this one time. You might be here and you don't really know the Lord as your Savior. He might be saying, you know what? You need to get saved. Well, maybe I'll do that next week. It don't say He'll come back and talk to you next week. He might be saying, you know, you need to go forward and commit to the mission field. I can see Brother Jack now over in Africa. Hey, we never know. I said that one time in a church, and the guy was 80 years old, and well, I'm a little too old. Hey, Abraham was 75 when he got called out. We never know, but whenever the Lord's talking to us, we need to take heed to it right now, because not only tomorrow may not come, but He may not talk to you about tomorrow. He might. He might talk to you about it next time you're in church, but then He might not. And we don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for us. Let's stand and we'll bow in a word of prayer. Have Brian come up and we'll do a verse of invitation. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for Your Son, Jesus.